Hey, welcome back to Heart to Heart with Dr. Tart. I'm your host. I'm and have the pleasure of interviewing relationship experts when it comes to exiting toxic relationships, Tomiko Lowry Pugh and Kimya Motley. Thank you, ladies, for being here. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to provide a little bit of clarity on domesticshelters.org for those that need it. When you go to the website, you have to put your address in. I just put my address in, and then it gave me three numbers to call in the area. So I don't want you to get discouraged when you go there and you see no phone number. You have to put in your address so that they can send you somewhere that's close to you, and then it gives you the contact information. All right, so before the break, we talked about developing safety plans, and we gave resources. Now what I want to do is, I want to be a psychologist for a minute, okay? I want to know what you would tell you when you were going through this relationship. Let's start at the beginning, what conversation you have with yourself, and then what conversation you would have with yourself to move on. What did you need to hear? What makes the light bulb go off? What would you say to you then, now?
Well, here's what I would say. Because there's always red flags, we just overlook them. The first thing is to go with your gut. Your gut tells you everything. That's the Holy Spirit telling you. And a lot of times we second guess, and that second guess is always wrong. Listen to the Holy Spirit. It tells you, those red flags are there. You know when something does not feel right, and sometimes we force things that shouldn't even be there. So that's the first thing. I felt like I forced something that wasn't even ordained by God because I didn't listen to my gut or the Holy Spirit.
What does that sound like? So, of course, there are people that understand that perfectly, and then there are others that don't really get when you say, listen to the Holy Spirit. What does that look, sound, or feel like?
It's different for different people. For someone, it might be something like, I think he's a little bit crazy. Like, there's something inside of your head that said, he's a little bit crazy, but you overlook it. Well, that's okay. At least I have a man. You know what I mean? So little small things like that. Just that little small voice.
What was it for you, Tomiko? What was it?
He's crazy. I think he can be a little crazy.
Oh, what made it click? Because there were signs before that yes. He was there. Friends were like, this is not good. All right. What made it click? What made you finally get it? Or not finally, but what made you get it for the first time where you could move on?
Well, here's what happened to me. Because we always think abuse is physical. So before it even got physical, I was dead mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I was completely gone at that point. And so for me to even see the signs, yes, I saw them, but I was so emotionally drained and depleted that it was like abuse on myself. I felt like I deserved everything he said to me. So at that point, I was just completely gone. But it took me getting sick, having migraines, suffering from depression, having bottles of medicine across the table that I had to take to cope with this person. And I was like, wow. My kids were like, Mommy, you're always sick. And at that point, that's when the bell rang, like, your kids see this. They were getting sick because I was sick. And so I had to put together that plan and develop my exit strategy.
I mean, Tomiko, you're right on what the statistics say, is that when survivors of domestic violence are going through it, higher rates of depression, sleep problems, anxiety, flashbacks, loss of confidence, questioning your moves, am I crazy? Am I thinking through this properly? Am I adequate enough to leave? Can I take care of myself? So if you're having those thoughts and feelings, realize, listen. Kimmy, I see you shaking your head. Did you want to add in? What would you say to a young woman or a young man in your position with the wisdom that you have now that would help the light bulb go off?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't see classic signs of violence or anger. I saw just the opposite, what I mentioned earlier about him not getting angry. He was Prince Charming. One of the things we as women do, I think, is we lay out a blueprint. We have that first date or so, we start telling them all these things that we want and all the things that the exes may have done that were wrong, and he started studying me. So whatever I said I wanted, that's what he gave me. And he worked hard to keep that mask on so as not to do those things that I said I didn't like. So I didn't see those signs, but that's exactly, that is a sign. Being a Prince Charming, buying me expensive gifts. Whatever it is that I said, you know, I wanted, that's what he did. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is. I would tell him, you know, you are just so perfect, you know, because all these things that I had on my list, you know, women have a list. He seemingly had them. But what we do, just like Tamiko said, is we kind of settle. Like, there are some things, you know, I'll talk to women about the list. You need to prioritize that list. And those things that are important to your core, those are the things that you don't compromise on. And in some places, I did. If it's really important to you for a man to have a relationship with the Lord, and you compromise on that and say, well, he's a believer, You're setting yourself up for trouble. If you say, okay, I want someone who has his own means of transportation, I see this a lot, and, well, he doesn't have a car and you've got to pick him up, you're setting yourself up for, you know, a problem. So those are all red flags. One is the settling. Don't do that. Those things that are important to your core, that's what I would tell myself. Don't do that. And if he's rushing you to a commitment early, because within a month he told me, I know you're going to be my wife and I want to marry you. 1 month. And I was so flattered. You know, wow, someone wants to marry me. Oh, this is so cool. He loves me. Not thinking, you know, no one in their right mind is going to tell you within a month, hey, I'm ready to marry you.
Yeah, I can see, you know, being a dad of a daughter, how that could sound so romantic and a dream come true and exactly what you need. And I appreciate you talking to people about pausing when it's too fast. There's a book out called Slow Love that says the best way to move into a relationship that's healthy is to move into it slowly, because it gives you an opportunity to really know someone. A red flag is moving too fast. Let me ask you this, because I believe in the power of sisterhood. It is not only something that I see in working with a lot of women and girls, but it's something that the research bears out. The power of women is in their circle. What can men and women, I'm talking about cousins, brothers, employers, friends, what can they do to help someone that's in this environment right now? What can they say? What would have helped you then to get this sooner, if possible? Give them a strategy for having a conversation and not making the person defensive. Because that's where we're getting a lot of texts and we're getting some emails about, what do I do? I've tried to have this conversation. I've tried to have this conversation. But when I even bring up or even mention his or her name, they get so defensive and they end up isolating themselves. What advice would you give them? What strategies can they use if that's what's happening?
There's really no right thing to say. Like Tamiko and I were kind of just saying, there isn't really one right thing to say. The most important thing is just to be there, to say, you know what, I may not agree with your choices, but I love you, and I'm here to support you in whatever way, you know, is needed. Now, be honest and say, I believe you're in danger. I believe you're in trouble. I don't think this relationship is good for you, you know. A lot of times women, well, myself, my self-esteem was very low. So, you know, to reaffirm that person, to say, you know, you are worthy of something more. Those kinds of things are seeds that you're planting, because when they're ready, they'll know this person has my back. I know sometimes that's hard on friends, because I've had, when I was in the thick of that, I had friends turn away, to walk away from me, because it was too much for them to handle. They could clearly see what was going on and I couldn't. So the most important thing that I would say is just say, hey, I've got your back. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I love you, and whatever you need me to do, I'll be there to do.
That is so beautiful. And I think that accesses the point. You can't help a friend that you're not in contact with. And if you're judgmental because you feel helpless and powerless, and we all get that, all right, your friend can't reach out to you when they're ready if you're gone. Right. Part of friendship means that you hang in there with them and you let them know. But we all understand that sometimes it takes time to move out of a situation. Last question, and then we'll do some final thoughts, and I want you to give people resources on how to contact you. How did you all date after this? How do you move on? Okay, I've been through the war. How do you actually move on to actually trust anyone and not just stay in a cocoon for the rest of your life?
You know what? You have to go through a healing process first. I know for me, I had to go through a healing process. I had to learn how to forgive, and not just forgive my ex-husband, but I had to forgive myself for allowing myself to be in that relationship. I had to forgive people who I blamed, my father, my mother, my family members, because I felt like this is your fault. You didn't teach me right. And so I had to go through that whole forgiveness process. And then I had to go through some self-discovery. So I went through like 3 years of self-discovery because I lost myself in that marriage. I didn't know who Tamiko was, what made me laugh, what made me happy, what I like to eat, because everything was focused on him. And so for 3 years, I dated myself. I bought myself flowers. I went to the restaurants that I wanted to go to. I jumped on my bed in the morning because I like to do goofy stuff. Like, I did what was fun for me. And I got to a point where I learned to love me from the inside out. And then I was ready to date. And so I knew what I was looking for at that point. Or, I knew the type of man that I wanted to attract.
Okay, and I saw your last name is hyphenated. When did you get married?
Ooh. I got married just last December, 12, 13, 14, at 15, 16.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yes. Numbers. That has to be your husband, the money man. What about you, Kimi? Congratulations to you, Tamiko.
Thank you.
You are an example that it's not what you go through. Mm-hmm. It's about having that determination and resiliency to push through to what God has for you. Kimi?
Well, I can so agree with Tamiko. I'm still in that period of self-discovery. Right after the shooting, I got involved in another relationship, and it was too soon.
Okay.
You know, I would tell women to wait at least a year, you know, to heal and to get to know yourself again, like she said. For me, it has been, we're working on the fourth year now, 3 years since being in my previous relationship. And like she said, I had to figure out, what do I like? You know, someone asked me, what do you do for fun? And I said, fun? What's that? You know, I had to really try to figure out, well, what is my favorite color? I don't want to wear that because that's what he liked me to wear. You know, I had to figure out what types of foods did I want to eat. And I didn't want to eat fried food every day. I wanted to bake and grill some stuff, you know, just different things of, like she said, self-discovery. My therapist at the time, which therapy is very important, said, you know, at one point you're becoming Velcro girl, where everything is sticking to you. And I was rebellious. I was telling people left and right, I don't like that. I don't like when you say that. I don't like when you do that. And now you get to a point after you go through that where you can be healthy and you're ready to receive that relationship.
Tamiko and Kimi.
Okay.
Therapy. I want to, what final resources do you have? How can people get in contact with you? I want to thank you for coming on the show and the powerful testimonies that you have. How can people get in contact with you, and what resources do you want to leave with the people?
One of the resources that I failed to mention is that we currently, with the Still Standing Foundation, we have our Domestic Violence Survivor Empowerment Program going on right now. And it's free to register for that program. If you're local to Atlanta, just go to www.thestillstandingfoundation.org. It's an amazing program. We have classes on financial empowerment, self-confidence boot camp, everything to get your life rebuilt after abuse. And again, that's www.thestillstandingfoundation.org. You can also follow the organization on Twitter and Instagram at the Still Standing Foundation.
And how do people get your book, Wounds to Wisdom? Where can they pick that up?
You can grab a copy of Wounds to Wisdom, I'm Still Standing, from Barnes & Noble. It's also available on Amazon.com, and it is my personal testimony of going through domestic violence, overcoming it to live a winning lifestyle.
That's a national bestseller. All
yes.
Right. Kimi, what about you? How do people get in contact with you?
Well, you can reach Haven of Light at 404-594-2836, or you can reach us on our web, www.haven-of-light.org. We are also on Facebook, Haven of Light International, also on Instagram and Twitter. We provide crisis intervention to help women locate resources. We work with family violence intervention programs to give the men a victim impact model. We also do support groups, Christian-based support groups at my church once a month to help women deal with the aftermath.
What church is this?
Springfield Baptist Church in Congress,
Georgia. Okay, I'm familiar with it. Okay.
Yes. And ultimately, we'd like to build a transitional home. That's our ultimate goal.
That's going to happen.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Let me give you some numbers. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. Again, that's 1-800-799-SAFE, 7233. The Partnership Against Domestic Violence, PADV.org, 404-870-9600. And then domesticshelters.org. Put in your zip code if you need a safe place to be. I am Dr. Tart. Final comments. One, never leave your friends alone. If they are in a toxic or abusive relationship, they'll need you when they're ready to get out, and the worst thing you want to do is leave them alone. Police, develop a policy when you come in, domestic violence, to make sure that the kids and everyone in the house gets training. And then, well, therapy. And then churches, make sure you get mental health training, because that is the number one place where people come for help. I'm Dr. Tart. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Heart to Heart, Dr. Tart, which is sponsored by Verizon Wireless and Clark Atlanta University. You've been listening to Heart with Dr. Tart. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. You can find additional resources and listen to this program on demand or recommend it to a friend by going to WCLK.com. Heart to Heart is produced by Donna Brock. Our executive producer is Cheryl Selloway. Technical production and call screening is by Rob Maynard and John May Wellman for Jazz 91.9 WCLK. On behalf of Clark Atlanta University and Verizon Wireless, I'm Dr. Aldewan Tart. Thanks for listening.